Good morning. Welcome to the October Fiscal Committee meeting. My name is Mary Jane Wallner, and as Chair of the Fiscal Committee of the General Court, I find that due to the state of emergency declared by the Governor as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic, and in accordance with the Governor's Emergency Order Number 12, pursuant to Executive Order 2020-04, as extended with this public body, is authorized to meet electronically. Please note that there is no physical location to observe and listen contemporaneously to this meeting. This is authorized pursuant to the Governor's Emergency Order. However, in accordance with the Emergency Order, I am confirming that we are, one, providing public access to the meeting by telephone and with additional access possibilities by video or other electronic means. We are utilizing Fast Conference for this remote meeting. All members of the committee and the staff of state agencies with agenda items have the ability to communicate contemporaneously during this meeting through this platform. And the public has access to contemporaneously listen and, if necessary, participate in this meeting through dialing the following phone number, 1-800-356-8278, and the six-digit conference code, 125563, followed by the pound sign. 2, providing public notice of the necessary information for accessing the meeting. We previously gave notice to the public of the necessary information for accessing the meeting telephonically. Instructions have also been provided in the House and Senate calendars, the Fiscal Committee agenda, and the website of the Office of the Legislative Budget Assistant. Providing a mechanism for the public to alert the public body during the meeting if there are problems with access. If anyone has a problem, please email nheoc@cos.nh.gov. 4, adjourning the meeting if the public is unable to access the meeting. In the event the public is unable to access the meeting will be adjourned and rescheduled. Please note that all votes that are taken during this meeting shall be done by roll call. Senator Bradley has joined us. He's sitting in for Senator Morris. So at this point, I'd like to ask the clerk to take the roll. Each member must state their presence, and please also state whether there is anyone in the room with you during this meeting, which is required under the Right to Know law. Representative Weiler, could you take the roll? Thank you.
Yes, Madam Clerk. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Representative Wallner.
Mary Jane Wallner, I'm in my home in Concord, New Hampshire. My husband is in the House.
Representative Ford.
Sue Ford, I'm in Easton, alone in my house.
Representative Leishman.
Good morning, Ken. Peter Leishman here. I'm alone in my home in Peterborough.
Representative Ober.
Good morning. I'm here. I'm home. I'm alone right now, but Russ is out jogging in the rain. He'll be back.
All right, Representative Weiler, I'm home alone in this room. There are others in the House. And Senator D'Alessandro.
This is Senator D'Alessandro. I'm in Manchester in my home, and my wife is in the House.
Senator Susi.
This is Senator Donna Susi. I am at home in Manchester, and I am alone.
Senator Kahn.
Present in Keene. Wife is elsewhere in the House.
Senator Rosenwald.
Good Good morning, Cindy Rosenwald. I'm in my home in Nashua. My husband is elsewhere in the house.
Senator Bradley.
Yes, good morning, everyone. Jeb Bradley. I am in Wolfboro in my home, and Karen is in the house, but not in the room.
Thank you. We have 10 present, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Weiler. And we'll move on to the first item of business is the acceptance of the minutes of the September 18th, 2020 meeting.
Madam Chair, if I may, Representative Hennessy has her hand raised.
Representative Hennessy?
Thank you. I just wanted to say that I am here as well at my house in Littleton with my kids who are on their hybrid homeschool day.
Oh, thank you, Representative Hennessy. Thank you. Do I see a motion for accept the minutes?
I will move to accept the minutes.
I'll second them. Sue Ford.
Senator D'Alessandro moved to accept the minutes of the September meeting, and Representative Ford second. Could I ask the clerk to please call the roll?
Representative Ford.
Yes.
Representative Leishman.
I'll abstain since I was not present on the 18th.
Representative Ober.
I'm going to abstain. That's the meeting when Russ and I had been in the car accident, so I wasn't present either.
Representative Weiler, yes. Representative Hennessy was present. How do you vote?
Hennessy votes yes.
Senator D'Alessandro.
Senator D'Alessandro votes yes.
Senator Susie.
This is Senator Susie. I vote yes.
Senator Kahn.
Yes.
Senator Rosenwald. Senator Rosenwald, how do you vote on the minutes?
Yes.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Senator Bradley.
I would abstain also. Thank you.
Representative Wallner.
Yes.
Seven yes, three abstained.
Seven yes and three abstained, and the motion passes. Now we move to item three, and my understanding is this item has been withdrawn, so it takes no action from the fiscal committee. Moving on, we'll go into our first consent calendar, and this is tab four. I know we don't have books, but it's tab four in our agenda. And there are one, two, three, four items on this consent calendar. Are there any of these items that people would like to have taken off to have more discussion about?
Ma'am, Senator Rosenwald has her hand raised.
Yes, Senator Rosenwald. Senator Rosenwald, can you hear me?
I don't think I'm on mute. I'd like to remove item 20-207 to ask a question.
Okay, we will. So we'll remove 20-207. Are there any other items that people would like to have removed for further discussion? Okay, seeing none, then could I get a motion to accept the other items on this consent calendar?
Move to accept the items on the consent calendar four.
Second.
Senator D'Alessandro moves to accept the items on the consent calendar, and I believe that was Senator Rosenwald at second. Yes. Is that right?
Yes. Yes, Madam Chair.
Okay. So I'll ask the clerk to call the roll. The motion is that we accept the three items left on the consent calendar.
Representative Ford.
Votes yes.
Representative Leishman.
Yes.
Representative Ober.
Yes.
Representative Weiler votes yes. Senator D'Alessandro.
Senator D'Alessandro votes yes.
Senator Susie.
Senator Susie votes yes.
Senator Kahn.
Yes.
Senator Rosenwald.
Yes.
Senator Bradley.
Yes.
Representative Wallner.
Yes.
Madam Chair, the vote is 10 yes, 0 no.
Motion passes 10 to 0. Thank you, Representative Weiler. And now we have number 20-270, which is a health and human services item. And I was
correction, 207.
207, I'm sorry. I would like to have someone from Health and Human Services come up to address Senator Rosenwald's questions.
Good morning, Madam Chair. This is Karen Rounds. I'm on the line, as is Joe Caristi from New Hampshire Hospital.
Thank you very much, Karen. Senator Rosenwald, you have a question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good morning, Karen. Over the summer, when I had a phone conversation with the commissioner about opening the transitional beds at the Philbrook Center, she told me that the staff would be state employees, and in this item, we're being asked to approve funding for contract staffing. I think perhaps that there's going to be a transition from contract staffing state employees, but I wanted to ask the department if that is the case and we're still looking at state employees.
Sure, absolutely. I'll give you an initial answer and then I'll turn it over to Joe, who can give you a little more detail. But this is to do essentially what we've been doing at New Hampshire Hospital and at Glencliff for many years, which is to supplement our state employees with contracted staff. And this particular contract is also to then transition those contracted staff into state employees after 9 months. So I'll let Joe add any more to that.
Hi, this is Joe Caristi. Can everyone hear me?
Yes.
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 Hi. Good morning, Madam Chair and council members. So this contract is, as you stated, the intention of this is to be temporary to permanent staffing. So we intend to work with a company and have individuals work with us for a period of 9 months, and at which point in time, if they demonstrated to be good employees and good individuals and somebody we would like to join our team, we would ask them to apply for a state position.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That was my only question, Madam Chair. I would move approval of the item.
Senator Rosenwald moves approval. Do I hear a second?
I would second. This is Senator Susie.
Senator Susie, second. And is there any further discussion or further questions about this item? Okay, hearing none, I will ask the clerk to call the roll. The motion is to accept the item.
Representative Ford.
Rep. Sue Ford votes yes.
Representative Leishman.
Yes.
Representative Ober.
Yes.
Representative Weiler votes yes. Senator D'Alessandro.
Senator D'Alessandro votes yes.
Senator Susie.
Senator Susie votes yes.
Senator Kahn.
Yes.
Senator Rosenwald.
Yes.
Senator Bradley.
Yes.
Representative Wallner.
Yes.
Madam Chair, the vote count is 7 yes, 0 no.
The vote is...
10 yes. What did I say?
Oh, 10. Thanks. I'm trying to figure out who won.
Sorry about that.
Thank you. The vote is 10 to 0, and the motion passes. Thank you. Okay, we move on now to... Tab 5, which is a department, it's only one item on it, and it is a Department of Safety item. Do we have, does anyone have questions about this item? Seeing none, could I have a motion?
Move to approve.
I think that was Representative Leishman moves to approve.
Second.
And Senator Kahn moves to second. Is that right? Any further discussion? The motion is to approve this item. Hearing no ask for discussion, I will ask the clerk to call the roll.
Representative Ford.
Sue Ford votes yes.
Representative Leishman.
Yes.
Representative Ober.
Yes.
Representative Wyler votes yes. Senator D'Alessandro.
Senator D'Alessandro votes yes.
Senator Susie.
Senator Susie votes yes.
Senator Kahn.
Yes.
I have a yes from Senator Kahn. Senator Rosenwald.
Yes.
Senator Bradley.
Yes.
Representative Wallner.
Yes.
See if I can count better. 10 yes, 0 no.
The motion passes 10 to 0. And we'll move on now to item tab 6. And here again, there's only one item here. Would anyone like, do people have questions about this item?
Senator Kahn, yes, Madam Chair.
Okay. Thank you, Senator Kahn. Could we have someone from Health and Human Services come up to answer some questions about this item?
Hey, Madam Chair, Karen Rounds is here. I believe Katya Fox is also on the line.
Thank you, Karen, and thank you, Katya, for being here. Senator Kahn, would you like to ask your question?
Yes, Madam Chair. I recall this item a year ago and dollar amount that was some $45 million before us today is action on $29 million. And we've, in Keene, and I'm sure the other eight locations in the state, set up doorway projects, which are the spare of the funding that, as I understand this, this grant opportunity. So what I'm wondering is how this amount of funding lines up with the continuing need and expansion of doorway that it does match current commitments, and if there are some additional funds available for those positions that may have been hired late in the year and need to continue in order to maintain levels of service or even increase levels of service. So I appreciate Karen and Katya being able to address that.
Of course. I would just state that I know that there are not issues with having enough funding for the contractors, but I'll let Katya go into more detail.
So good morning, Madam Chair and members of the committee. This is Katya Fox, Director of the Division for Behavioral Health at the department, and I'm in my office alone in Concord. So thank you, Senator Khan, for that question. Yes, this very much does support the doorway, the most visible activity that happens as a result of the state opioid response funds. And with this additional grant award, we will continue to sustain the programs that were stood up initially. And so that includes not only the doorways, but also helps support our treatment providers. It provides recovery centers funding and a variety of other areas, including medication-assisted treatment. We are able, because we have the no-cost extension funds available as well, we're going to make some one-time investments, and we have identified those as helping the counties implement the MAT. As you know, that they are now required after a court decision to provide and start MAT. So we're going to be working with them on that. We are going to provide additional education and training, smoking cessation, which is a key piece of the federal requirement that they want us to focus on. And I know that a question has come up from a fiscal committee member about where we are with our mobile crisis RFP, request for proposals. That is also part of this funding. We're going to contribute to that because it's an essential service, and we have these funds available, and we know that mobile crisis is being used not only in Manchester and Nashua and Concord for mental health crises, but also for individuals who have an opioid use disorder. One other, so that mobile crisis RFP, two commissioners to sign off on it today, and it will be posted later this afternoon. And so that's a full anticipation that that will be posted this afternoon. I had one other point, but I'll pause there for questions.
Madam Chair, if I might continue with
yes.
two other
points. Yes.
On the mobile crisis unit, we did put some funding into our state allocations to the department. Is this allowing for more than one mobile crisis unit to be considered in your most in the RFP that's about to be released?
So again, thank you, Senator Khan. Absolutely, the system of care SB 14 requires us to have statewide mobile crisis for children, and we're taking the opportunity with the funding that was also provided by the legislature for the 10-year mental health plan, and we're pulling together these funds so that we have that statewide response for all populations. So that's very much the plan. We know that it may look a little different in the North Country or your region, but that it's a vital service, and we need to be able to help individuals when they need it and where they need it. And we're really looking forward to the opportunity to spread that statewide.
And finally, Ms. Fox, you've hit the question that I wanted to follow up with, which is beyond the doorways is the need both for emergency services as crisis units will be able to respond, and also referral for ongoing treatment. And I thought I heard you say, but maybe so I'm asking to clarify, are there additional dollars either in this grant or in other funding that you anticipate, RFPs and awards, that allow some expansion of the spokes beyond the doorways themselves, the intake centers, that allows for either residential treatment or ongoing treatment for people seeking continuing help.
So, Senator Khan, thank you. What I can do, I think it might be really helpful, is to share the applications that were approved by SAMHSA for both the no-cost extension as well as what we call SOR2, so that you're able to see how we plan to specifically allocate those funds. We do have the ability to make changes as our circumstances may change on the ground. Who would have thought that we would be here today 6 months, or I guess I should now say 7-8 months ago. So I want to be able to provide that to you so you can see where we have the ability to expand and where we need to take the funds and continue to support the services that have been stood up. With that being said, I'll use this opportunity to make a pitch. We just posted yesterday a supportive housing services RFP, which is part of the 10-year plan, and there already is one that had been posted, and that closes next week, and that's for transitional housing, picking up on the Philbrook project and continuing. If you recall, we did not use the full $5 million that was allocated for that. We used a portion of that, and with the remaining funds, we're procuring for an additional 22 transitional housing beds. So there are a lot of moving parts and lots of opportunities, and we really hope that each of you talk to your partners and providers in your communities to make sure that they're aware of this and that they take advantage of those opportunities.
Thank you for expanding on the question. I appreciate that.
Thank you. Any further questions concerning this item?
Senator Rosenwald and then Representative Ober after that.
Okay. Senator Rosenwald.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Karen and Katja. Mike, I have a couple of questions specific to Nashua Doorway. As we've talked about over the last few years, Nashua had a really rocky start with the Doorway program, and now that it's been taken over by the hospital, I'm hoping that there will be more referrals. 1 month with the previous vendor, there were only 3 referrals. But as it started with the hospitals, the doorway was only open weekdays, I think, like 9 to 5. And I know the hospital was planning, along with the department, to expand the hours a lot. And I wonder where Nashua is with the expanded hours. Has that been done yet? And what are the hours now?
Thank you. Again, it's Katya Fox. And so I don't have the specific information about Nashua before me. I will tell you that the implementation by Southern New Hampshire has been really, really good and smooth, and we have seen significant increases of the referrals as well as individuals served in that region. And I was remiss in when I was ticking off what we're going to be doing with this funding opportunity going forward is that we're going to be expanding the hours and extending the hours, and if possible, go to 24/7 in high-need regions. And so in Nashua, I'll get the information. There were conversations and plans, and I need to follow up with Southern to see where those landed. But as you know, Safe Station closed in Nashua, and we engaged with the city and with the Doorway to make sure that individuals are getting the services they need.
Could I follow up, Madam Chair, please?
Yes, of course.
Thank you. So, Katja, would it be possible for the department to get us the information on what the hours currently are in Nashua, how many referrals per month there have been for the last, let's say, 3 months, and if the hours have not expanded yet, when will they be expanded?
So, again, Katya Fox, absolutely, we can get that to you. And some of you may have in your inbox this morning the latest doorway report, which breaks down all of the services that have been provided since its inception, and it specifically calls out the last 3 months. And unfortunately and fortunately, we've seen an increase in the numbers. Despite the pandemic, the hospitals did remain open and had in-person services available. And while we saw a drop in that and a move to more of telephonic and telehealth, we're now starting to see those in-person visits increase. And we're seeing an overall increase as the months go on. And so this acceptance of this funding is critical for us to be able to continue to support the individuals as we move forward and anticipate an increased demand.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Any further questions? Representative Ober has some questions, I think.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Could you ask the LBA to send us the URL this afternoon when that RFP is released? I think we've all been interested in it.
Absolutely. I will share it widely. Hopefully we'll get it to everybody who needs it, but please feel free to forward it as we get it to you.
Thank you. Any further questions? Hearing no further questions, I'll ask Representative Weiler to call the roll.
Need a motion.
Do I have a motion? Yeah. We need a motion. I'm sorry. Do we have a motion?
Move the item.
Senator D'Alessandro moves the item.
Sue Ford second.
And Sue Ford second. And now I will ask Representative Weiler to call the roll.
Representative Ford.
Vote yes.
Representative Leishman.
Yes.
Representative Ober.
Yes.
Representative Weiler votes yes. Senator D'Alessandro.
Senator D'Alessandro votes yes.
Senator Susi.
Senator Susi votes yes.
Senator Kahn.
Yes.
Senator Rosenwald.
Yes.
Senator Bradley.
Yes.
Representative Wallner.
Yes.
Madam Chair, the vote count is 10 to 0.
The motion passes. The vote is 10 to 0. Let's move on now to consent calendar number 7. And we have 4 items in this consent calendar. And do I have requests to take things off this calendar?
Chair, this is Senator Kahn. I was interested in asking a question about the Business and Economic Affairs grant.
Okay, Senator Kahn would like 197 taken off. Okay. Any other items to be taken off? Okay, I don't hear any other items to come off. So we'll, I'm sorry. Did someone ask for another item? Nope. Okay, so we have 3 items left.
Could I move the balance of item 7?
Yes. So that would be number 200, 201, and 214.
That's correct.
Okay. And that was Senator D'Alessandro that moved the three items that are left. And do I have a second?
Sue Ford second.
Any discussion of these items? Hearing none, I'll ask clerk to call the roll.
Representative Ford.
Sue Ford votes yes.
Representative Leishman.
Yes.
Representative Ober.
Yes.
Representative Weiler votes yes. Senator D'Alessandro.
Senator D'Alessandro votes yes.
Senator Susi.
Senator Susi votes yes.
Senator Kahn.
Yes.
Senator Rosenwald.
Yes.
Senator Bradley.
Yes.
Representative Wallner.
Yes.
Madam Chair, the vote is 10 yes, 0 no.
Motion passes 10 to 0. And we'll move on now to item 197. And that's Department of Economic, Business and Economic Affairs. And do we have someone available to answer some questions?
Ma'am, Tina from Catham, her line is open.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Senator Kahn, did you have questions about this item?
I'd be glad to ask the representative from BEA. Thank you, Madam Chair. Person could introduce herself again.
Yes, I'm sorry. I was on mute. Just for the record, my name is Tina Kasem. I'm the program manager for the Office of International Commerce within the Department of Business and Economic Affairs.
Thank you, Ms. Kasem. So this item funds some personnel and I think up to $6,000 per recipient, applicant that is awarded a grant to expand exports from New Hampshire. So I just wanted to get a sense of what is the dollar split between the amount of this grant spent on personnel and on grants or awards to New Hampshire businesses. About how many awards are there to the New Hampshire businesses? And maybe you could give us an example of a couple profile, a couple of those awardees, just so we have some sense of how these dollars are boosting New Hampshire businesses and might just help us be better communicators about some opportunities to folks in my region and elsewhere.
Absolutely. I'm happy to cover those questions. I would start off by saying we have over 90% of the, according to our calculations, over 90%, close to 97% of this award will directly benefit New Hampshire exporters. And none of that goes, none of the remaining percentage covers any state personnel salary or expenses. In terms of how many awards are going to benefit New Hampshire, or how many companies are going to benefit from these awards, from $6,000 awards, we have planned for 30 companies to benefit from those. 10 would be considered new to export companies. And 20 of the awards would be set for market expansion firms. Now, that's obviously going to change as we move forward with grants because, as history shows us, not all the companies hit their budget of $6,000 in eligible expenses to be reimbursed. Some folks come in under budget. And so whenever we have any that come in under budget, that money goes back into the pot. And we allocate them to another company for another So we could hit more than 30 companies or more than 30 awards. And the number of market expansion companies versus new-to-export companies might change a little bit, but our target is 10 of new to export and 28 for market expansion.
Madam Chair, question on that?
Yes.
Is there a single award date so that applicants are, or there's a request for proposal at a certain point, and does that have a rolling date so that you hit the 30 or the more than 30, or are there two dates during the year that you accept applications and make awards?
Yeah, we've tried a few different approaches. We do partner with the Granite State District Export Council, and that is where we house the application, the guidelines. We're able to accept the applications online as well through that website, and it just helps us, show the strong ecosystem in New Hampshire, and there is support from the Granite State District Export Council for us to be able to review and accept these contracts or these applications pretty efficiently. We do have. We usually start out with one, with the first round of applications, and we'll make those available. We'll have about a three-week application period. Once all the applications are reviewed and money allocated, if there's any money left in the pot, which there typically is, again, as history and experience tells us, we usually are able to open this up for a second round of applications. If at that point we still have fund allocated, what we tend to do is we'll work more one-on-one with various companies that we counsel, and we'll check in with them to talk about what their trade expansion programs or activities look like, and we'll find ways to be able to support those activities. And the other thing to note as well is we have to be pretty flexible after that second round of funding. As companies close out their awards, if they come in under budget, that money goes back into the pot. If with our other activities under this grant, if we haven't spent all of those funds, those also go back into the pot, and again, we'll reach out to various companies and make an effort to get that money out to them.
Thank you, Ms. Kasem. Madam Chair, if there are no other questions, I'll move approval of the item, but I'll let you manage that.
I would
Thank
second
you.
That item, Madam Chair. This is Representative Ober.
Thank you. Senator Kahn moves acceptance of the item, and Representative Ober seconds. Is there any further discussion of this item? Hearing none, I will ask Representative Weiler to call the roll.
Representative Ford.
Representative Ford votes yes.
Representative Leishman.
Yes.
Representative Ober.
Yes.
Representative Weiler votes yes. Senator D'Alessandro.
Senator D'Alessandro votes yes.
Senator Susie.
Senator Susie votes yes.
Senator Kahn?
Yes.
Senator Rosenwald?
Yes.
Senator Bradley?
Yes.
Representative Wallner?
Yes.
Madam Chair, the vote is 10 to 0.
The item passes 10 to 0. And we'll move on to tab 8. Department of Education item. Senator D'Alessandro.
I move to table.
Rosenwald seconds.
I have
Senator D'Alessandro moves to table. And
I raised my hand for questions.
Right now have a tabling motion.
Ma'am, Senator Bradley and Representative Hennessy have their hands raised.
This is a non-debatable motion, so we'll move. Senator D'Alessandro moves to table. And Senator...
Senator Rosenwald, second. It's a non-debatable motion. I'll ask the clerk to call
the
roll.
The roll on the tabling motion. Representative Ford.
Vote yes.
Representative Leishman.
Yes.
Representative Ober.
Two members of the committee had their hand raised. No discussion was called, and a motion came out of the dark. I'm going to vote no because it's rude not to allow members of this committee to discuss.
Representative Weiler votes no. Senator D'Alessandro.
Senator D'Alessandro votes yes.
Senator Susi.
Senator Susi votes yes.
Senator Kahn.
Yes.
Senator Rosenwald.
Yes.
Senator Bradley.
As a first-time member of the Fiscal Committee, I have never seen such shameful behavior. The questions aren't even allowed, but I will vote no.
Representative Wallner.
Yes.
Madam Chair, the vote is 7 Democrats yes to 3 Republicans no.
The motion passes 7-3. And now we move on to tab 9. Which is the Department of Natural and Cultural Resources. Do we have questions about this one?
I do, Madam Chair. Leishman here.
Okay. Representative Leishman.
Yes, I'm sorry?
No, I just wondered if there was someone here from the department.
Yes, one moment, ma'am. I know Chris Marino and John are on, if they could hit 5 stars and open up their lines. Okay, Mr. DeVivo's line is open.
Yes, good morning to the committee. This is John DeVivo up here at Cannon Mountain and Franconia Notch State Park.
Representative Leishman has a question.
Thanks, Madam Chair. And John did get back to me this morning with an email, but I still had a concern about the charge for the professional ski patrol and the Professional Ski Instructors Association plus the rescue services, which is a doubling of what I believe they presently charge. One of the concerns I have that in the past, always the professional organizations have been given either free or reduced rates to travel to any ski area to promote the sport and the resort, but also importantly, the rescue services in a time that we're really leaning on our professionals out there. Most of these people are volunteers. To bring the rate from a present, I believe it's $25 up to $50 seems a little problematic for me.
Okay. And John DeVivo here at Cannon Mountain Ski Area and Franconia Notch State Park. While it's true that in the past, most, if not all, ski areas had offered free or discounted rates.
Who's that proven?
He had been offering discounted rates for quite some time. And given the losses that we're trying to overcome and the capacity limits that we'll have, we're trying to, of course, bump our yields, realize as much revenue as possible, not at the expense of these folks, but certainly in line with the direction that most of the industry is going. Some are charging full rates, others are charging discounted rates, and we would be at 50 on a retail rate of 89.
Further questions?
I have a question, Madam Chair.
Yes.
I have a couple questions.
Senator Rosenwald.
Thank you. If we look at the table fee schedule down in the second section, which is the season pass, on the fifth line, it says teen senior non-New Hampshire resident with a zero season pass fee. I think that is supposed to be for the resident senior. Maybe it's an extra line, but I would like to amend the motion to reflect the department's practice of maintaining the New Hampshire senior resident midweek season pass at $0 with a $39 processing fee. And that's the current practice, and it's advertised on the website.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for pointing that out. That zero line there, it may have been a placeholder in putting the document together. The actual line is the one directly below that. And I did get your email, and we've gone back and forth a couple of times. The New Hampshire Senior Resident Midweek Season Pass at a $39 processing fee still holds. We just don't have it on here, as there was no question as to whether or not it would remain valid, and it is on our website. We can certainly amend this if required by the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Having been in the legislature the last time, we considered increasing costs for New Hampshire residents seniors to use any of our state parks. I do remember the firestorm, and so I would like to amend the motion so that it is clear that the New Hampshire senior resident midweek pass with the $39 administrative fee is still being offered.
I'll second the senator's motion.
Okay. Representative, Senator Rosenwald, amend the item, and Representative Leishman second. Do we have that down? So it amends it to be sure that the $39 senior resident
midweek
is included in the item. Is that correct?
Yes, so that's what we're approving,
okay.
Which is the
correct. So, so we have a motion on that amendment and a second. Any discussion of that amendment?
Madam Chair, this is Senator Kahn.
Yes, Senator Kahn.
I'm in support of the amendment. If we're going to be updating for that charge, I just wanted to question if there are other categories here that have administrative processing fees that aren't reflected in the table. Would there be value to first to understand if there are, and then second to update the table for that.
Okay, I think that's a question that the people from Department of Natural and Cultural Resources will have to answer. Are there other fees that are not reflected on the chart that's before us?
Yeah, this is Don DeVivo again here at Cannon Mountain and Franconia Notch State Park. The only two such items which may be, I guess, considered marquee items would be the children's under six season pass, which requires a $39 processing fee, and the New Hampshire senior resident midweek pass, which requires a $39 processing fee.
So I guess I'd ask Senator Rosenwald, did those two both fit in the same kind of category to provide that notice?
I would be happy if you wanted to amend my amendment to also reflect the child New Hampshire resident pass with the administrative fee. I do see on the website that it requires the purchase of an adult pass, but I think that's clear on the website. Just think it's really important we're approving a fee schedule that clearly outlines that we are making our state parks and Cannon available to the senior population basically still for free midweek. I understand that there have been more applications than ever for this pass this coming ski season.
Yes, if I may clarify, the children's under six day ticket is free with a paid adult ticket so that there's a chaperone present, and it is a children's under six season pass available at $39 processing fee, which is not New Hampshire versus non-New Hampshire.
And not reflected on the chart currently.
Right. I mean, those two aren't essentially what we would consider to be marquee items, and there's no reason to consider them to be at risk for elimination or anything like that, which is why they're not on this chart. Again, we can certainly amend.
Okay. I think Representative Leishman seconded Senator Rosenwald's original motion. And would you
absolutely
agree to the further
yes.
amendment? Okay, so,
yes, absolutely.
Okay, so Representative Rosenwald, would you just, would you, for my sake, please make the amendment and make the amendment one more time?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. Okay. I move that we amend this item to reflect the department's current practice, which maintains the New Hampshire senior resident midweek season pass at $0 with a $39 processing fee, and also includes the child New Hampshire resident pass at $39, I guess that's $0 with a $39 processing fee. It's a purchase of an adult pass.
Thank you for making that, for clearly stating that. And Representative Friesen, would you, and you would agree to second that?
Yes, Madam Chair.
So the motion is made and seconded. Any further discussion?
Yes, Madam Chair, it's John DeVivo up north again. I want to clarify, the child under six day ticket and season pass option is not restrictive of New Hampshire versus non-New Hampshire.
Okay.
So I'm looking at the website, and the website says child New Hampshire resident pass at five and under. So that does suggest that it's for New Hampshire children.
Yeah, there may be a separate category listed on the website because a lot of times folks ask us to differentiate between New Hampshire and non-New Hampshire.
And the website doesn't say anything about children from other states for season pass.
Okay, I'll have to look into that one.
Okay. You looked into that one, and I assume that you'll get back to us at a future meeting. And now I'll ask the clerk to take the roll on the amendment.
Calling the roll on the amendment as stated, Representative Ford.
Yes.
Representative Leishman.
Yes.
Representative Ober.
Yes.
Representative Weiler votes yes. Senator D'Alessandro.
Senator D'Alessandro votes yes.
Senator Susi.
Senator Susi votes yes.
Senator Kahn.
Yes.
Senator Rosenwald.
Yes.
Senator Bradley. Senator Bradley? Are you
sorry,
there, Senator Bradley?
Yeah, I was on mute. I'm sorry. Yes.
Representative Wallner?
Yes.
Madam Chair, the amendment is 10 to 0.
Madam Chair, I would move the item.
And Senator Rosenwald moves the item. And we have a second?
Second.
Sue Ford seconds.
And Sue Ford seconds. Further discussion of the item? Hearing no discussion of the item, I will ask Representative Wyler to call the roll.
Madam Chairman, shouldn't that motion be she moves the item as amended?
Yes. Thank you, Representative Ober. Moves the item as amended. And I will ask the clerk to call the roll.
Representative Ford.
Yes.
Representative Leishman.
Yes.
Representative Ober.
Yes.
Representative Wyler votes yes. Representative, Senator D'Alessandro.
Senator D'Alessandro votes yes.
Senator Susi.
Senator Susi votes yes.
Senator Kahn.
Yes.
Senator Rosenwald.
Yes.
Senator Bradley.
Yes.
Representative Wallner.
Yes.
Madam Chair, the vote is on the motion as amended is 10 yes, 0 no.
Motion passes 10 to 0. And now we move on into the miscellaneous informational material. We don't have to have votes on any of these, but if there are items that people would like to have taken off the agenda, and we can get people to come up and answer some questions. Just let me know which ones you would like to take off. Just shout them out. None of them?
Do we have a dashboard?
That's an excellent question. Is there someone from Health and Human Services here and could update us on the dashboard and whether or not we're going to see one soon?
Yeah, sure. This is Karen Round. So I will tell you that the table that shows potential needs of the department and lapses, there's no changes to that this month. With regards to all the statistics, I had some technical difficulties with the spreadsheet and making it readable, which has been an ongoing issue. And I think as the commissioner mentioned last meeting, before COVID happened, we were in process of changing our presentation to be more graphical and easier to read. And then with COVID and Lisa English being the lead to help us with that, going over to Gopher, we haven't been able to complete that task. So I'm hoping to be able to resolve the issues I was having at the beginning of next week, and I'll send over an electronic copy to Mike Kane immediately, and then also make sure that we submit one for the November meeting.
Thank you, Karen. That would be great if you could get that out to all of the committee next week. I think that would be helpful, and have it
also,
ready.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
Madam Chair, may I also ask a question?
Okay.
Do you anticipate having a December meeting as the department is planning for dashboards and transfers and that type of thing?
I haven't really discussed that with Mr. Kane yet, but I would imagine that we will probably need one.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
Representative Wyler, while Ms. Rounds is on listening, FIS 20203, where the juggling the total number of people, that format was changed, and it's difficult to understand what is being displaced by whom. So if you make that a little more, restore it more to the former way it was reported, I would appreciate it. It would make it more clear to understand who's, what positions are being swapped. Thank you.
Sure. I think that the item that you're referring to is actually a required reporting on a review of the unclassified positions. Representative Ober's pretty familiar with the requirements around that. I think you're thinking of an item that we used to file when we had unfunded positions and would swap them with a funded position. And legislation, I think, two sessions ago changed that, so we no longer had to report that. We just had to essentially certify to DAS that we were continuing to keep an unfunded list that would meet the lab.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Karen, I did want to say that in December it will be a new fiscal committee, so they will decide whether they're having a December meeting, but we'll keep you posted, okay?
For sure. I appreciate that. Thank you.
There is one item on here I would just like to make note of, and that is item 216, Office of Legislative Budget. This is an excellent peer review of our legislative budget office, and I just want to bring it to everyone's attention and say thank you to the Office of Legislative Budget Assistance for the great work they've done. This is a national state auditors association actually does this peer review, and it was we did very well, and thank you. Congratulations.
I second that.
Yeah,
third
well
that.
Done.
Yeah, well
we've
done.
Got a great
W-D.
Pro.
WD, well done.
Are there any other items to come that people would like to have more information about?
Yes, Madam Chair.
Okay, which one?
Item 8.
Is that Senator Kahn? I can barely not. I can just barely hear you.
Bradley.
Oh, I'm sorry. I can barely hear you.
Let's try again. I'd like to ask questions of Commissioner Edelblue on item 8, please. I had my hand up. I was told we'd be able to ask questions. There was not an opportunity to ask questions. I believe that Representative Hennessy had her hand up. I've never seen that kind of ending of debate before. So I'd like to ask Commissioner Edelblue questions.
Senator Bradley, could I suggest to you that since we've already passed 8, that maybe you would like, there isn't on 210, there is an item here which might actually be something that you would want to look at. It's information about charter schools. That might be where you might want to ask some information.
All right. I'd be happy to, if Commissioner Edelblue would answer questions on item 210.
Okay. It just seems like that's where we are at this point, and there is an item that is relevant.
Madam Chairman, before he asks his questions, throughout this meeting, one of the members is heavily breathing into the phone. It is very one annoying kind of thing because you are struggling to hear the person speaking. So if everybody who's not speaking could just mute themselves because your phone's got a mute button, I think we could hear Senator Bradley better. I'm having trouble. I know you said you were having trouble, and I'd appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Ober. Yes, everybody should put their line on mute if they're not speaking. And I think that'll really help us be able to hear. I was having a very difficult time hearing people. So I think Senator Bradley had some questions of the Department of Education.
So this is Frank Edelblue, and I'm available on the phone.
Thank you,
Commissioner, and good morning. Thank you, Madam Chair. You know, the charter school discussions, my understanding, Commissioner Edelblue, is that public charter schools go through a rigorous certification process with the Department of Education. It's my understanding, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, that the 28 schools, that charter schools that were operating as of several months ago, and I know there are a couple of new ones now, they went through this process. They received similar grants from the Department of Education that was federal funding. What is new and different about the charter school grant, the $10 million that's part of the $46 million that has been tabled? Is there anything different?
So thank you for that question, Senator. That is actually the same grant that has been in existence for well over a decade. Many of the schools, the public charter schools that are open today, received funding through a similar grant under Governor, at that time, Governor Lynch's administration. So we received those grants and we were able to support those charter schools. Also, between that grant and the receipt of the current $46 million innovation grant for public schools, we made application to the federal government to receive additional charter school grants similar to the one that we received, and had full support from Governor Hassan, as an example, on the last time that we filed that in 2016. And so this is not really any different from the previous grant we received, as well as the attempts to receive those grants. We've always had broad support for those grant opportunities.
So if I can continue, there are several schools that you listed in your September 22nd submission. Northeast Woodlands Public Charter School in my district, they've obviously gone through the process. They are operating. They were expecting this funding, which was, it's not been available due to the fiscal committee action. Are you aware that in the case of Northeast Woodland, they have had to rely on short-term financing for these startup costs by benefactors of the school, and that this can't last forever? This is a very short-term situation. So are you aware of the financial duress the school is under, Northeast Woodland, and how does that affect the other schools that you've listed in your submission?
So I am aware that for Northeast Woodland, as well as really across the educational system, schools are under financial strain, and that includes our public charter schools as well as our traditional public schools, and that this funding would really go a long way to alleviating some of that financial stress as well as creating opportunity for innovation. And, you know, really, if COVID has shown us anything, it's the importance and really the urgency of innovating our instructional models to try and find ways to meet students where they are and in the circumstances that we find ourselves.
Further question, if I might, Commissioner. I know that some people have suggested to me that we try to use some of the CARES funding that is still available or some other source of funding than this $46 million charter school grant. My understanding is the CARES funding cannot be used because it's not COVID-related and that there are no other sources that can be used for this funding. Is that correct? This is the only option. Is that correct?
That's correct. This is the only funding source we have for these charter school expansion grants.
And I know that there are some 1,300 students on a waiting list at this point in time to get into charter schools. That's my understanding. I know that members of the fiscal committee in the past have expressed a concern that this grant, the $10 million, $46 million grant, could only be used on new schools. But my understanding is that is not the case. All of the 28 schools that were existing prior to this fall would be eligible to use this funding to expand their operations. Isn't that correct?
So it is available for opening new schools, but also this includes a component which is referred to as replication grant. So those schools that are interested in replicating a successful model are able to do that. I think it's also important to consider that, and we have repeatedly kind of made this known, is that this funding is also available to our traditional public schools to be able to open a charter school, to innovate and create creative instructional models that help meet students where they are. So again, a $46 million investment in education innovation in the state is what we're looking at.
And, Commissioner, I know that, I have a lot of white hair, so my kids are kind of grown up now, but, I had three sons that graduated from Kingswood Regional High School. It was perfect for them, but my daughter needed something different. By not accepting these funds, and I know what it means as a parent to have choices and options for kids that need something different, aren't these funds targeted to most at-risk students, including those whose parents and families are of more limited means, and isn't the grant targeted in that direction?
That's exactly how our grant application and the award was designed, to focus specifically on aiding at-risk students and educationally disadvantaged students, whether in our rural areas or in our urban settings. So, yes.
And if we're not able to follow through on the grant, especially in light of, the COVID situation within our schools, doesn't that just undermine the kind of opportunity that our students need, especially now?
It does. It takes away opportunity. And you mentioned about your own children, but we all on this call, I believe, understand that children are all different. And what we really need to do is to work hard as a state to create and find educational settings that will work for them and allow them to succeed and have a bright future.
Okay, Commissioner, I guess in light of what, Commissioner Edelblue has just said, Madam Chair, I would ask that we reconsider our motion to table on item 8. I would move that we take item 8 off the table, and hopefully if that happens, we will move to approve it. Thank you.
Second.
Ma'am, Representative Hennessy has her hand raised.
Madam Chair.
Representative Walner, your line may be muted.
Can anyone hear me, Representative Weiler?
I can.
Yes, we can hear you, sir. I'm not sure if Representative Walner is having trouble with her line or not.
Representative Kahn had a question, I believe.
Madam Chair, question would be to Commissioner Edelblue. In that item that is identifies a number of students, it's fourth. We currently fund our charter schools, there's an appropriation of $44 million for the current fiscal year. And I believe that the budget was targeted at 4,000 students. So my question is whether the number is 4,062 or the number grows because of an intent to grow the enrollment in charter schools, if it grows to 4,500, 5,000 in the current year. How is that paid for? Do we prorate the amount that was appropriated in the budget?
So we basically pay an adequacy amount per student according to the law.
I think that didn't answer the question. If we,
I'm sorry, then maybe I didn't understand.
If we have an appropriation that, I mean, you've indicated it's $9,000 per student essentially for the 4,062 in the first payment, if there are more students than what $44,000 and $9,000 a student would cover, how do those extra students, how do the schools get reimbursed for higher enrollment?
So we basically pay through the Education Trust Fund the adequacy amount to the charter schools. I'm not sure what the $9,000 number you're referring to is, but out of the Education Trust Fund, we fund students to go to the charter schools. You may be referring to, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but payments relative to VLAX, is that what we're talking about?
No.
Okay, so we pay out of the Adequacy Trust Fund, the Education Trust Fund.
And so we're not quite getting to what my question is. There's an allocation of $44 million covering these 4,000. But if there were 5,000 students, there's not enough money to pay for the extra 1,000 students. In the appropriation. Now, you're saying it comes from the Education Trust Fund, but the Education Trust Fund was drawn down a lot in this fiscal year. The point is, we would wind up spending more than $44 million, right?
Well, so we don't know that. That would be speculation in terms of what that might look like. And as well, if it's a net calculation because a student would move from one school to another school, so the adequacy would be redirected to the other school.
But there's a premium paid, at least of $3,700 per charter school student. This isn't, Madam Chair, we're not getting to the point. I'll just make the point. There is an added dollar amount that the state is, I believe, obligated to pay for enrollment exceed the budgeted amount, and that would minimally be $3,700 per student, and I don't think that's considered in this, and personally, I'm going to vote against the consideration.
So just to clarify, now I think I understand a little bit of what you're saying. So we do believe that we have adequate funding in the Education Trust Fund to support all of our students. And as you know, the department did an analysis associated with that cost that you're referring to, and it would actually result in savings over a 10-year period to taxpayers of between $100 and $178 million.
Those dollars are diverting the local payments to a state payment. Nonetheless, Madam Chair, I think I would like to call the question.
Okay. Thank you, Senator Kahn. I believe the motion that we're looking at is from Senator Bradley, motion is to reconsider item 8 on our agenda. And
Madam Chairman,
I was having problems. I think that Representative Weiler seconded it. Is that correct?
That's correct. That's correct.
Okay, Madam Chairman, I've had my hand up for quite a while. I patiently waited while Senator Kahn asked his questions. I think he could, while he wants to move the question, could he not move the question after people with their hands up get to ask theirs?
Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Representative Ober. I did not see that you had your hand up. I'm sorry. So, Representative Ober, I'm going to recognize you for a question before we take the vote.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I appreciate it. This is a question that Representative Hennessy actually asked to me and probably would have asked if she were a member of the committee, but I thought it was interesting. And she said, for the schools facing declining enrollment and high facility costs, and I know there are some in my area, Manchester comes to mind, could these funds be used to set up a charter school within a traditional public school and pay rent to that school?
Yes, Representative, that would be permissible.
Could you also set up a public school, a charter school, a public school for kids whose needs are not being met in their district who have special needs? How far does this grant let us go to use public facilities?
Yes, it would absolutely allow that. And, in fact, one of the proposals or the conversations we had over the past year was with one of our traditional public schools that was interested in creating a charter school for special needs students specifically.
Thank you. And thank you, Madam Chairman.
Thank you, Representative Ober.
Madam Chair, I have
a couple other hands.
Yeah, thank you.
So Representative Hennessy had her hand up, and then Senator Bradley as well.
I'm going to rule that Representative Hennessy is a substitute, and I don't believe there's anyone out at this point. So I will just move on to Senator Bradley, but we have had Senator Kahn has called the question, so on reconsideration.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
One more question, and then we'll move on to your vote.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to clarify with Commissioner Edelblue that even though for this short period of time until the next budget could be written, you believe that you have ample resources in the Education Trust Fund to pay the additional stipend that charter schools would need in the interim, and that is not a reason, this temporary funding for the stipend is not a reason, because you have the resources, it's not a reason to not move forward at this point. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Thank you. And I will, Senator Bradley, I'd move that we reconsider item 8, and Representative Weiler had seconded that, and I will ask Representative Weiler to call the roll.
Representative Ford. Representative Ford on reconsideration. Representative Ford, I believe you're still muted.
Did you hear that?
I did not.
No. Sorry, it was a muting problem.
Representative Leishman.
No.
Representative Ober.
Yes.
Representative Weiler votes yes. Senator D'Alessandro. Senator D'Alessandro, muted.
Senator D'Alessandro, do you hear me? Senator D'Alessandro, I don't hear you.
Senator D'Alessandro votes no.
Senator Susi.
Senator Susi votes no.
Senator Kahn.
No.
Senator Rosenwald.
No.
Senator Bradley.
Yes.
Representative Wallner.
No.
Madam Chair, the vote is again strictly partisan. 3 Republican yes, 7 Democrats no.
The motion fails 3-7. And let's move on. Are there any other items before us? Yes, we do. We have one further item, and that is the meeting of November 20th at 10 a.m. will be our next meeting. And I hope that will work for everyone. And seeing no other items, I will adjourn the meeting.
Say the date again.
November 20th.
Okay.
At 10 a.m. It is a Friday.
Yep.
And meeting's adjourned. Thank you.